This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are joined right now by attorney Eric Faddis, former federal prosecutor, and I really want to get your perspective on this. From your position and your expertise in your profession, should Lori Vallow's sentencing, which is scheduled here for today as this episode comes out and may have already actually taken place by the time this drops in the day, should her religion be taken into account? Should her religious beliefs, I should say, be taken into account in the sentencing process?
And I didn't see exactly of what charges she was convicted, but I know she was convicted in the deaths of her children.
Yes.
A person's religion typically should, I think, should not have bearing on what sentence they receive. Here, it's a little bit tougher of a call because, like you said, the religious beliefs were ingrained into her actions. Could defense get up there and say, hey, look, she was brainwashed. She wasn't thinking clearly. She was having mental health issues as it was. And this sort of pushed her over the edge, Your Honor. That is mitigating. That should go in her favor. I think that is more likely the route a judge would take. I think a judge might feel uncomfortable using a person's spiritual beliefs against them at a criminal sentencing for child deaths. And if it goes any direction, I think it might go in favor of the defense.
And that's a hard one to define when it comes to religion, because it all depends on our own personal prisms in which we were raised or not raised with it and how we view it. There's obviously plenty of, and that's a majority, very peaceful people who are not out using religion as justification for murdering their children. But there are other versions of religion. Obviously, Lori took it that far, but there's plenty of people who have their belief system and they do expose their children to very dangerous situations. I'm thinking of like snake handlers and all sorts of people, quite honestly, that are not the greatest judge of characters and end up putting their children into very dangerous situations with dangerous people, and the children end up being attacked. Does this highlight any potential gaps in our child protective services, or just the way, maybe not even CPS, just the way we handle these sort of things in society and how quickly we are to write off danger when mom or dad says, it's our religion?
Yeah, what a classic tension between freedom and safety in our society. We want authorities to identify when a child is at risk and, if appropriate, intervene, take action to protect that kid. But it gets pretty murky when the parents' spiritual beliefs are at play in the situation. We've had cases in Colorado where folks have withheld medical care from children who were clearly very sick, and those children suffered and ultimately perished due to the parents' actions. And so should authorities have intervened sooner in a case like that? If they did, is that some sort of way of impeding upon the expression of a person's religious freedom? I think there's absolutely a line that we must draw when it comes to a physical safety risk for the child. Once it gets past that level, I think it is appropriate for the state to intervene, and then the parents can plead their case and plead their religion in court. But I think we have to take corrective action early enough to try and prevent some of those kinds of child deaths.
And there seem to be a lot of openings and windows to intervene in this case. And I'm curious if that has taught us anything, if it's going to be looked at with a little bit more of a magnifying glass. I know a lot of the authorities in this case, a lot of them did a great job investigating this. They were following the rules and laws as they were written at that current time. But if we just look back at this from a humanistic standpoint, there could have been intervening 50 different ways. They knew the children were missing for a long period of time. She did not have to produce them for nearly 5 or 6 months, and they were okay with it. Is this something where the system really did fail these kids and allowed simply the word of Lori to have much more ground and impact than it should have had? And should this be changed? Should they take a look at this and say, yeah, maybe we were following our current rules, but those rules need to be changed and those practices need some updating?
You know, I think there were failures in many respects in this case. And it brings me back to there's a body cam interview of one of Lori Vallow-Daybell's ex-husbands who was essentially saying, hey, look, she's off her rocker. She's dangerous. She's going to hurt somebody. And nothing significant happens. And then later, that ex-husband turns up dead. And there are other instances where folks were doing this outcry and saying, yeah, things are getting pretty problematic here. And there wasn't sufficient intervention at that time. So will this be a case study in terms of how we act upon these tips? What tips are credible? What tips are actionable? What should justify us going into a home and disturbing that personal home environment in order to protect children? I think this is a great case for authorities to look at and hopefully glean some lessons that will help folks in the future.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.